Sign number two, as their enemies have done to Israel, so God will do to them. While the Bible promises that the nation of Israel will still exist during the time of the end, that means when the Lord returns, it also contains warnings for those nations who will attempt to destroy the chosen people. In fact, as we saw in our previous sign, the Lord had promised punishment or a curse upon all those who tried to annihilate Israel. Now let's look at this passage again. This is Genesis 12, 1-3, where the Lord says to Abram, "Go out from your land, your relatives, and your father's house, to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse anyone who treats you with contempt, and all the peoples of the earth will be blessed through you." Genesis 12, 1-3. All right, these promises are very specific. Whoever blesses Israel will be blessed by God. On the other hand, if any nation or individual attempts to treat Israel with contempt, God will curse them. Simply put, as their enemies have done unto Israel, so the Lord will do to them. Now, these predictions have been literally fulfilled. Again, we're going to find that these predictions that God has given in His Word of judgment upon those who attempt to destroy Israel have been literally fulfilled in the course of history, which is further evidence that God is in control of all events that take place. Now, we're also going to discover that the warnings are still in effect to this day. In other words, any modern nation or individual that treats Israel with contempt will be cursed by God. To begin with, let's consider some of the past fulfillments of this promise given to Abraham some 4,000 years ago. We'll look first at Edom or the Edomites. They're the descendants of Esau, and he was the older brother of the patriarch Jacob. While Esau was the eldest child, the promises went to the younger Jacob. Historically, the descendants of Esau, namely the Edomites, have been constant enemies with the nation of Israel. And despite their continual efforts to rule over the Jews, this prophecy of God has been literally fulfilled. In fact, the descendants of the older child serve the descendants of the younger. Simply stated, Israel has proved stronger than Edom. When Greek became the international language in the 3rd century BC, the Edomites were then called the Idumeans. And with the rise of the Roman Empire, an Idumean, whose father had converted to Judaism, was appointed king over Judea. His name? Herod the Great. He was the murderous king who ordered the massacre of the newborns in Bethlehem in an attempt to kill the Christ child. The Bible explains it in this manner. When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious, and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he learned from the Magi. Then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping in great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more. That's Matthew chapter 2, verses 16 to 18. Now hence we see that an Edomite attempted to thwart the arrival of the Messiah to kill the baby Jesus. Well, our next headline is the Edomites disappear from history. After Herod's death, the Idumean people slowly disappeared from history. After the destruction of Jerusalem in AD 70, the Edomites disappeared altogether. Now, we have a specific promise of their demise. God had foretold the destruction of the Edomites some 700 years earlier in Ezekiel 35, 15. Here's what it says. As you rejoiced over the inheritance of the house of Israel because it was desolate, so I will deal with you. You will be desolate, Mount Seir, and all of Edom, all of it. Then they will know that I am the Lord. That's Ezekiel 35, 15. Now note this prediction. When the descendants of Esau cease to exist, then the people will know that the Lord is indeed God. So to sum up this first prediction, God said that the Edomites, the descendants of Esau, who were endlessly at war with Israel, would cease to exist as a nation. This warning was literally fulfilled. Indeed, they have disappeared from history. All right, let's look at a second people group, the Ammonites. The Ammonites were a Semitic people who were closely related to the Israelites as we read the early history of Israel, we find a number of references to the Ammonite people. We can summarize what the Bible has to say about them as follows. The Ammonites had their beginnings with Lot, the nephew of Abraham. After Abraham and Lot separated, Lot settled in the city of Sodom. When God destroyed the evil cities of Sodom and Gomorrah because of their wickedness, Lot and his two daughters fled the city. Now Lot's daughters, seemingly thinking that they're the only people left on earth, got their father drunk on two consecutive nights. Each had an incestuous relation with him, which produced children. The Bible puts it this way in Genesis 19, verses 37 and 38. In this way, both of Lot's daughters became pregnant by their father. The younger daughter gave birth to a son and named him Ben-Ammi. He is the ancestor of the Ammonites of today. The Ammonites, the descendants of Ben-Ammi, were a nomadic people who lived in the territory of modern-day Jordan. In fact, the name of the capital city, Ammon, reflects the name of these ancient inhabitants. When Israel left Egypt, the Ammonites refused to assist them in any particular way, so God punished them for their lack of support. Moses wrote, "No Ammonite or Moabite or of any of their descendants may enter the assembly of the Lord, not even in the tenth generation, for they did not come to meet you with bread and water on your way when you came out of Egypt, and they hired Balaam, son of Beor, from Pethor in Aram-Naharim to pronounce a curse on you." That's from Deuteronomy 23, 3-4. Later, however, we find the Israelites did enter the promised land, and God instructed Israel to leave the Ammonites alone. This is real interesting. In Deuteronomy 2:19, the Lord says this, "When you come to the Ammonites, do not harass them or provoke them for war, for I have not given you possession of any land belonging to the Ammonites. I have given it as a possession to the descendants of Lot." Okay, so God told Israel that the Ammonites had a certain amount of land for their possession, and Israel was not to provoke them. However, this did not stop the Ammonites from provoking Israel. They would continue to provoke them. Now, the Ammonites were a very pagan people. They worshiped false gods, and consequently, Israel was told specifically not to marry these pagans, because intermarriage between an Ammonite and an Israelite would cause them to worship false deities. King Solomon, with all his wisdom, disobeyed this commandment and married a woman, Naamah, the Ammonite, which we read later of. It says in 1 Kings 14:21, "Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, was king in Judah. He was 41 years old when he became king, and he reigned 17 years. The city the Lord had chosen out of all the tribes in Israel. He reigned in the city of Jerusalem, in which the Lord put his name." Now listen to this. His mother's name was Naamah. She was an Ammonite. And so the son of Solomon, who became king of Israel, Rehoboam, was actually an Ammonite. All right. Had an Ammonite for a mother. Well, just as the Lord had warned, the foolish King Solomon was drawn into idolatry by marrying an Ammonite and having a son through her. And as we know, Solomon worshipped many of the false gods of the Ammonites and other peoples. Now, Ammon was a very, very cruel people, the Ammonites. They worshipped this god Molech, one of the gods, fire god, had the face of a calf. And it was horrifically, the images of this idol had arms outstretched to receive babies who were sacrificed to him. Like their gods, the Ammonites were very, very cruel people. After the nation split into two kingdoms, Israel and Judah, the Ammonites began to allow themselves, actually the Ammonites began to ally themselves with the enemies of Israel. All right, now we have the prediction of the destruction of the Ammonites. After centuries of disobeying God and trying to thwart Israel, the Lord predicted their destruction. Now, this is found in a passage in Ezekiel chapter 25, verses 1 through 11. And basically, it says this, "The Lord came to Ezekiel and said, 'Son of man, turn toward the Ammonites and prophesy against them. Say to the Ammonites, hear the word of the sovereign Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says. You said, aha, about my sanctuary when it was desecrated, about the land of Israel when it was made desolate, and about the house of Judah when they went into exile. So take note. I am about to make you slaves of the tribes of the east. They will make camps among you and pitch their tents among you. They will eat your fruit and drink your milk. I will make Rabbah a pasture for camels and Ammon a resting place for sheep. Then you will know that I am the Lord. For this is what the Sovereign Lord says. Because you clapped your hands, stamped your feet, and rejoiced with intense scorn over the land of Israel, take note. I have stretched out my hand against you, and I will hand you over as plunder to the nations. I will cut you off from the peoples and make you perish from the lands. I will destroy you. Then you will know that I am the Lord. That is Ezekiel 25:1-11. Okay, the Ammonites gloated when the temple was destroyed, the land of Jerusalem was desecrated, and the people exiled to Babylon. Consequently, the Lord pronounced judgment on them. Now note, we have some very specific predictions that have been literally fulfilled here. The last mention of the Ammonites as a separate people was in the 2nd century by the church father Justin Martyr. Sometime during the Roman period, the Ammonites seem to have been absorbed into Arab society. They no longer exist as a distinct people with their own national identity. So to sum up, we have another literal fulfillment of the prediction made to Abraham. The Ammonites, who constantly harassed Israel, cease to exist. All right, let's look at a third nation, Moab. Moab was also an offspring of Lot and one of his daughters. Again, we read this in the book of Genesis, chapter 19, verses 37 to 38. In this way, both of Lot's daughters became pregnant by their father. The oldest daughter gave birth to a son and named him Moab. He is the ancestor of the Moabites of today. So, like the Ammonites, the Moabites were constant enemies of Israel. And as we just observed, they did not help Israel when the nation was entering the Promised Land. Judgment was announced upon them as well as upon Ammon. And God promised that Moab would also cease to exist. After a long harassing of the nation of Israel, the Lord issued this judgment against Moab. This is Ezekiel 25:8-11. This is what the Sovereign Lord says. Moab and Seir, look, the house of Judah is like all the other nations. So look, I'm about to open up Moab's flank, eliminating the cities, including its frontier cities, the beauty of the land. I will hand it over along with the Ammonites to the tribes of the east, so that the Ammonites will no longer be remembered among the nations. I will execute judgment against Moab. Then they will know that I am the Lord. Okay, the Lord promised to judge Moab, and Moab was going to be just like Ammon. This was literally fulfilled, because this nation passed out of existence during the Babylonian captivity. All right, let's look at another one, Philistia. Philistines, the sea peoples who lived on the coast of Israel, like Edom, Moab, and Ammon, they too detested the Israelites and had continually sought to destroy them. We read this in Judges 13-16 and 1 Samuel chapter 4. So we find the Lord pronouncing judgment on the Philistines. Ezekiel 25:15-17 says this. This is what the Sovereign Lord says. The Philistines have exacted merciless revenge, showing intense scorn in their effort to destroy Judah with unrelenting hostility. So this is what the Sovereign Lord says. Take note, I am about to stretch out my hand against the Philistines. I will kill the Cherethites and destroy those who remain on the seacoast. I will exact great vengeance upon them with angry rebukes. Then they will know that I am the Lord when I exact my vengeance upon them. That's Ezekiel 25:15-17. So we find the Lord promised they would take vengeance. The people of Israel would take vengeance on the Philistines for their treatment of the chosen people. They're going to know that the Lord was God when they experience this judgment. And you guessed it, there's no record of the Philistines' existence after the 2nd century BC. Although the names of certain of their cities remained, the Philistines have passed through history. So God is 4-for-4 now. Let's go for 5-for-5. We're going to get this with Amalek. The Amalekites were the first tribe mentioned, or a tribe first mentioned, during the time of Abraham in Genesis 14:7. It says, then they turned back and went to En-Mishpat, and they conquered the whole territory of the Amalekites, as well as the Amorites who were living Hatzion Tamar. All right, Though the Amalekites or the Amalekites were not mentioned in the Table of Nations in Genesis chapter 10, they are referred to as the first among nations in the book of Numbers. We read in Numbers 24:20, "Then Balaam saw Amalek and spoke his message. Amalek was first among the nations, but their end will be utter destruction." Now, the Amalekites had unrelenting brutality towards the Israelites, and it began with an attack at a place called Rephidim, which is later recounted in the book of Deuteronomy. Now, the Lord says something really interesting here. He said, "Remember when the Amalekites did this to you along the way when you came out of Egypt? When you were weary and worn out, they met you on your journey and attacked all who were lagging behind? They had no fear of God. When the Lord your God gives you rest from your enemies around you in the land he is giving you to possess as an inheritance, you shall blot out the name of Amalek from under heaven. Do not forget." Quite a specific promise. Deuteronomy 25:17-19, specific commandment. Don't forget to blot their name out. Now, the Bible records a long-lasting feud between the Amalekites and the Israelites, and God's direction to wipe the Amalekites off the face of the earth. Now, these evil people were responsible for repeated destruction of the Israelites' land as well as their food supply. Finally, the Lord had enough. So he told King Saul the following. This is what the Lord Almighty says. "I will punish the Amalekites for what they have done to Israel when they waylaid them as they came up from Egypt. Now go and attack the Amalekites and destroy all that belongs to them. Do not spare them. Put to death men and women, children and infants, cattle and sheep, camels and donkeys." 1 Samuel 15:2-3. Unfortunately, Saul did not obey the Lord, and the escaped Amalekites continued to harass and plunder the Israelites in successive generations that span actually hundreds of more years. All right, years later, during the time of King Hezekiah, a group of Simeonites killed off the remaining Amalekites who had been living in the hill country of Seir. 1 Chronicles 4, verses 42 to 43 says, "And 500 of these Simeonites, the sons of Ishi, invaded the hill country of Seir. They killed the remaining Amalekites who had escaped, and they have lived there to this day." All right, interestingly, the last mention of an Amalekite is found in the book of Esther. What was his name? His name was Haman. He was the descendant of the Amalekite king Agag. This evil Haman attempted to have all the Jews in Persia annihilated by the order of King Xerxes. The Bible records how God miraculously saved the Jews in Persia. So evil Haman, his sons, and the rest of Israel's enemies were themselves destroyed. We find this from Esther chapter 9, verses 5 to 10. Now, the Amalekites' hatred of the Jews and their repeated attempts to eradicate the entire nation had led to their ultimate doom. Their fate should be a warning to all people who would attempt to thwart God's plan or who would curse the people of God, Israel, whom God had blessed. All right, now let's sum up the biblical predictions on these people groups. The Bible specifically stated that these particular people groups continually harassed Israel. Indeed, each of them endlessly attempted to destroy God's chosen people. After years and years of trying to thwart the plans of God, the Lord had just had enough with each of them. So here's what happened. He predicted that each of them, as a group, would be destroyed. Their names would be obliterated from history, and as we observed, these specific predictions were literally fulfilled. Each of these five enemies of Israel have lost their national identity. In other words, they no longer exist as a distinct people. And there is a valuable lesson in this for all of us. When an individual or a nation attempts to thwart the plan of God with respect to the nation of Israel, they will be punished. Therefore, from Scripture, we have the promise as well as the clear precedent. Israel is not to be trifled with. Now, here is a very interesting exception, and that is the nation of Egypt. Another miraculous prediction of the Bible that has to do with the future is one concerning Egypt. Now, as we read the Old Testament, we find that Egypt has historically been an enemy of the people of Israel. Indeed, we read of the years of bondage and suffering of Israel, the time they spent Egypt, and again, eventually being set free with the Exodus. Very familiar story. Now, the Old Testament also records other instances of Egypt warring against the people of God. Yet, and here's the interesting thing, the Lord predicted that Egypt would exist at the time of the end, and moreover, the Bible says that many of the Egyptians would actually turn to the Lord in faith. In Isaiah chapter 19, verses 19 to 22, here's what we find. At that time, there will be an altar for the Lord in the middle of the land of Egypt, as well as a sacred pillar dedicated to the Lord at its border. It will become a visual reminder in the land of Egypt of the Lord who commands armies. When they cry out to the Lord because of their oppressors, he will send a deliverer and a defender who will rescue them. The Lord will reveal himself to the Egyptians, and they will acknowledge the Lord's authority at that time. They will present sacrifices and offerings. They will make vows to the Lord and fulfill them. The Lord will strike Egypt, striking them and then healing them. They will turn to the Lord, and he will listen to their prayers and heal them. That's Isaiah 19, 19 to 22. Now again, let's appreciate what's predicted here. At the time of the end, in the last days, this ancient nation of Egypt will still exist. Moreover, they're going to experience a time of spiritual revival in the last days. In fact, when they are oppressed by their enemies, they will cry out to the Lord, and he will listen to their prayers and heal them. So, as the Lord has promised, Egypt still does exist. Furthermore, the Christian influence in this country continues to this day. The predictions of the Bible have again proven to be true. Now, a little side issue here, which we'll talk about later in our 25 signs. A warning for America. This may answer one of the questions that people often ask about what the Bible says in the future, particularly, where's the United States of America in the last days? Well, one possible answer is that we will end up like these five enemies of Israel. In other words, America will cease to exist because of its treatment of Israel. Now, while this certainly isn't the only possible answer to the question of the future of America, it is something to be considered. And we're going to look at this question in more detail in sign 11 in our 25 signs. All right, so let's summarize the second sign. Our first sign of the end concerned the miraculous existence of the nation of Israel. The Lord promised that they would always exist, and they do still exist to this day. On the other hand, the Lord also promised vengeance on those nations who would attempt to destroy Israel. All of the predictions of Scripture have been literally fulfilled with respect to the nations that God has cursed. There are at least three reasons as to why this sign is so important with respect to the last days. Number one, it shows that when the Lord specifies certain nations for punishment, they will indeed be punished. There is no question about this. In fact, we have given you five examples of individual nations or people groups that have had judgment pronounced on them: Edom, Philistia, Amalek, Moab, and Ammon. As Scripture predicted, none of these people groups still exist. They have all lost their national identity. Furthermore, the Bible says that these predictions were made so that the world would recognize that the Lord was God. Second, while Egypt has been a mortal enemy of Israel from the very beginning, the Bible says they will not only exist in the last days, they will experience a national conversion. And as the Bible has predicted, Egypt still does exist to this day. So thus, coupled with the previous sign, we find that the seven nations mentioned in Scripture, two of them, Israel and Egypt, as predicted, still exist at the time of the end. On the other hand, these other five nations, as the Bible also predicted, no longer exist. People, this is not a coincidence. Now, third, this warning about punishment of those nations who attempt to destroy Israel may also help us explain why the United States is not a player in the last days scenario. Indeed, if the United States turns its back upon Israel to the place that it might cause their destruction, then this nation will be punished. This is one of the possible outcomes as to why we don't find the United States in Bible prophecy. Only time will tell. Okay, Our next sign is probably the most marvelous of them all. After almost 2,000 years of exile, the miraculous return of the nation Israel to the Promised Land.